I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cholton's Sean Rogers in today. Thank you for coming in.
Merry ups. Obviously, with winning the award.
Yeah.
And obviously, her story's amazing. I ain't going to lie, I watched the Ben Foster one for Wrexham.
Do you reckon that girls' football is becoming a lot more popular now, obviously, with the success of England?
And I saw on Twitter, obviously, the amount of tickets that's been sold for England's game. I had, like, Karen Carney, Laura Bassett there, and I was, like, thinking, oh my God, these lot play for England, you know. Getting in the car after, like, Mum, Safety won a Karen Carney shot today. And who was the Irish number one at the time?
Emma.
Honestly, learnt so much from her in my time there. Sorry, Van Veilendaal, who ended up being the Dutch number one. Another person that I learnt a lot off at Arsenal was Farrah Williams when she came.
Then you moved to Aston Villa.
Yeah.
How did this come about?
During the COVID time, obviously, it was halfway through our season.
That's one of your highest moments. I want to talk about another moment where you got red carded. Because this doesn't happen a lot for goalkeepers.
At St George's Park, it was quite a long walk, so I had such a long time to be thinking, like, what kind of captain am I going to be today?
What a save from Mark Howard.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Yours, Mine, Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Today, I'm really delighted to be joined by another woman footballer. I've got Cholton's Sean Rogers in today. Thank you for coming in.
No, thank you for having me.
Obviously, you're in the Championship at the moment with Cholton. The season's only seven games in. How's it been going so far since pre-season?
It's been a tough start for us, a bit slow to start with, and then we've gradually picked up points and we're in a really good place now just to kick on and try and pick up as many points as we can moving forward.
Yeah, you, like I said before, you recently just joined them after a loan move last year where you played a lot of games. Clearly enjoyed your time and wanted to make it permanent, so must have been delighted to get that over the line.
Yeah, I've spoke previously about, obviously, last year at Cholton. It was massive for me to, like, come in the history that the club has, especially in the women's game. But when I spoke to Karen, the manager, she was really delighted, obviously, with how I played last season, and obviously I think that kind of helped sway me to make the move permanent. Obviously, I'd come back off the season previously, not playing much football. So then to come in on loan and play as many games as I did, I was very grateful for that, the trust that they put in me. So I think it just made my decision a lot easier to come down here.
What about moving to London then?
I do miss the Midlands, I must say. As I said, the clue's in the name, being in the middle of everything. I can get a train to London, I can get a train up to Manchester or Liverpool, but it's different. Like, I do like it. There's always something you can do in London. You can always find something different to do. So yeah.
Are you and your teammates all quite close as well?
Yeah, we've got a group of us that we're just always doing stuff with each other. Whereas, like, could be like going for like food. We're planning to go pumpkin picking soon for Halloween. Nice. So yeah, we try and do stuff together as a group. So yeah.
That helps in the dressing room, though. When you all socialise together and you've all got that, like, not many of you will be from London, will you?
No, we've got quite a few of us, obviously, from the Midlands. There's a couple up north as well, but there isn't actually a few girls that are still like London-based. So when they say, "Oh, it's an hour away," I'm like thinking, my home's like 3 hours away, so it's a bit different. I do miss home, but it's good to have like a good group, and then it just makes being down here so much easier.
Yeah, and when you signed again, then did you have to do any initiations?
I got out of this. I don't know how. I think it was just because last year I was on loan. So I don't know how I got away with it, but I think when I did mine at Villa a few years ago, it was on the bus back from an away trip. So
horrible.
Yeah.
How did it go down?
It was me and this other girl doing it. I can't even remember what we sang, but it was just one of them. You just got to go with it, otherwise it's just a lonely place. The room seems to get smaller and smaller.
Yeah, I'm a terrible singer. So all my songs that I've ever done are like comedy ones. They're either like a Disney song or the song from The Hangover that Ed sings while playing the piano. I'll do something really stupid.
I think as well, like, the worst part about it is, like, you're going for it, but you can see people's eyes like, I think goalkeepers actually think that they can sing, though.
No, definitely not this case.
I think horrendous. No, like, I actually genuinely think goalkeepers think they can sing, but then because they just go for it and they don't really care. But inside, you're a bit like your hands are like shaking like this.
The thing that I don't get about initiations is no one enjoys them. You don't enjoy, like, when you listen to other people doing them, I hate them. Like,
yeah.
The dressing room don't enjoy them. It's just more about how that person feels at that time and you make them crumble.
Yeah, I think as well, like, sometimes you know when the person's getting up, you kind of have to like help them through it by like even like clapping to the song, and then it kind of gets them going a little bit. But you're just hoping that even if it's like 30 seconds, it just goes like that.
Right, okay. Well, I've got some quickfire questions for you just to get to know you. Right, catch or parry?
Catch.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Play short or kick it long?
I do like playing out from the back, but when I see on to play, I do like to play a long ball.
Yeah, nice. Who's your favourite ever goalkeeper?
Buffon.
Yeah, Gigi.
Yeah.
So what a legend.
He's just like a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, he is, yeah. He's just like a good bottle of red. He's just getting better and better.
I just can't like believe like he's journeying, like the age he's playing up to, and he's like... He's just so consistent. You never really see him like doing anything fancy. He just makes things look easy.
Yeah, he's very laid back, and he's unflappable as a person. He's one of my favourites ever. I'd have loved to have seen him in the Prem at one point, but weren't
definitely
meant to be. Best goalkeeper in the world right now. You can do male and female. This would be a good one.
I think female at the moment, you have to say Mary Earps, obviously with winning the award.
Yeah.
And obviously her story's amazing. Of where obviously she came from, in the sense of where she thought her England career had kind of like finished, and then like things change, and suddenly obviously now she's obviously won a European Championship and got to the final of a World Cup. But in the men's game, it's hard to say now, because every goalkeeper is a bit different and better than the other one in a certain way.
Yep.
But for me personally, I actually like. I'd probably say Edison or Alisson.
Yep. I always say one of the Brazilians. Yeah, it's hard to choose, isn't it?
It is hard to choose, because they're so similar, but then one of them's better than the other in certain areas. So I'd probably say out of those two, they're very, very good goalkeepers.
Yep, fair enough. I don't blame you for sitting on the fence with that one either, right? Starter or dessert?
Starter.
Yeah.
See, I like sweet stuff, but it's mainly like actual sweets chocolate.
Yeah.
And sometimes I go to a restaurant and I look at the dessert menu and I actually think, I don't want cheesecake, I don't want this, I don't want that. I might as well have just had a starter.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that one. Right, long sleeve shirt or short sleeve shirt?
Short sleeve.
Do you wear underarm underneath as well, or are you just short sleeve?
Just short sleeve.
Nice.
It has to be like really cold or for me not to be well to wear a skin.
Yep. How tall are you?
Do you want it in feet or?
Yeah, go in feet, that's it.
I'd say I want to say about 5'9".
Yeah.
I'd say that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say anything taller.
You're quite tall for a female goalkeeper, for a woman goalkeeper, aren't you, compared to some of the other ones?
I'd say I'm about probably average. like you have this in women's game where you have like the average height and then you get the anomaly of someone that's very tall.
Jill Scott.
Yeah. If she was a keeper, great. Oh, like, do you know what I mean?
Right, and then final one, right? Last minute penalty save or last minute score a goal?
I think the likelihood I'll go for the last minute penalty save.
Would you, yeah?
Because this, I ain't going to lie, I watched the Ben Foster one for Wrexham and I was just like waiting. And as soon as he saved, I was like, can you imagine the thrill? Like, obviously, incredible, scoring a goal is like one in like a million for a goalkeeper, but that is actually what you paid to do.
Yep. You'll and be remembered forever for one of those moments. Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought it was class. Like I'd love to be in that position.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, let's kick this off with our usual questions. Right, how did you get into goalkeeping?
So I got into goalkeeping actually watching my dad be a goalkeeper from like a really like young age. I'd always go to him. He'd play Saturdays and Sundays and I'd just be like with him, like obviously tagging along.
What level did he play at?
It wasn't like a really high level, but I know for a fact when he was younger, he got scouted like by Wolves and West Brom and stuff like that. But he just never really chose to kind of run with it. He just loved playing.
That's nice that you looked up to him though enough to then start taking it on yourself.
It wasn't the thing to be a goalkeeper at the time for me. It was more a case like I really enjoy this. Like, and at the time, obviously, not many girls were playing football, and I was like, why is this like? And then it was literally just me and my cousin was the only two girls at school playing football with the boys.
Yep. So was you joining in with the boys'
teams then? Yeah. I remember just like, they'd even chuck you in goal. And like, obviously you do that and then obviously you come out and you do a bit, but they'd always want to put you in goal. So I'm just assuming that's probably why as well. And I remember actually being in goal was, we actually got asked in our team who would want to go in goal, and literally no one put their hand up. And I was like thinking, if I do it now, I can say I've done it, and then I can say, well, it's your turn next.
Yep.
And I literally had like a really like good game, and I was like, oh, I guess I'll stay in then.
Yeah.
And realised you don't have to do as much running.
Yeah, yeah. Was it that moment then that you realised, yeah, I could do this? I'm a goalie.
I think so. Yeah, I think just it sounds so silly when you explain it to people, but the moment when you actually fling yourself through the air and like you save something where you actually don't think you're going to save and you feel it touch your hand and go around the post, is like you actually think to yourself, wow, that's quite sick.
Yeah, yeah. I always used to, when I was a kid, like the moments when you got the ball in the face or somewhere that hurt, right? And everybody wants you to react like you're hurt. But as a goalie, your natural reaction is just to get up and like you don't rub it. It's that we've always had that saying in football, don't rub it. It doesn't hurt if you don't rub it.
I think as well, like, especially when you get winded, people are asking if you're okay, and you literally you can't respond because you're like breathing in, but you just give the thumbs up to say yeah I'm good, and then when everyone turns away, you're a bit like, okay, that really hurt.
After that school match, then going home and telling your dad that you wanted to be a goalkeeper, he must have been full of pride, or was he a bit anxious about it?
No, he was fine with it. Obviously, being a goalkeeper, he like kind of understood like the good and the bad moments, but I think he was just happy that I wanted to do something that was a bit different. Obviously, one, not many girls wanted to play football, and two, not many actual young children want to be a goalkeeper. So to actually be one of those people to actually carry that on, I think he thought was kind of cool.
And obviously, being a girl coming through like with a boys team, was the opportunities very limited, or was it that there wouldn't have been as many girls teams back then either?
I was quite fortunate in terms of, obviously, I used to play football with the boys at school, but it was actually a teacher at school that noticed me and my cousin just playing, the only girls playing with the boys. And she said, there's a girls team starting up locally. Would you two be interested? And I was like, I told my parents, and then it was literally just like only a couple of us, and we actually played in a boys' league. So an all-girls team playing in a boys' league.
No way, that's incredible.
Yeah, so don't get me wrong, the first year we would get popped and stuff like that. But then you actually start earning the respect of the boys when you're the one knocking them over and beating them, scoring past them or tackling them. You kind of earn the respect that way. So I kind of like, that's a bit different to some people probably my age where they had to play in a boys' team. I was quite fortunate that a girls' team formed at the right time for me.
Was that level of competition then would have made you all develop And you probably turned into a really good team by the end of it, and especially when you would have competed against other girls' team, you'd have noticed the difference.
Yeah, definitely. So I think as well, when we used to play in like five-a-side tournaments, there'd be one every summer. So we'd be playing against boys' teams in that as well. And it was like, no one expects you to beat them. So when you do, you've got the parents on the side moaning, you've got the parents on the side saying to you, you've just got beat by a girl.
Yeah.
Like sort it out.
Does that hurt?
It did, but then I found it quite funny, like, at the end of the day, you have been beaten by a girl.
Yeah. There's two ways, obviously, you could have taken that. You could have took it as motivation, or you could have took it as, like, as a bit of slander against the girls.
Yeah, but,
like, you clearly seem like the person that would have went, yes, we beat them.
Yeah.
And that's it, and you just could have cracked on with it.
I was thinking, obviously, in football, you play because you enjoy it, but you play to win.
Of course.
When you beat someone, you beat someone, so...
Do you reckon that girls' football is becoming a lot more popular now, obviously with the success of England and stuff? Do you think that have you noticed a boost in the game?
Definitely. I think the other day I saw on Twitter, obviously the amount of tickets that's been sold for England's game at Wembley versus the Netherlands coming up soon. And I always think to myself, like, when I was younger, I never really thought, like, women's football could get to that kind of point in terms of, when I was younger, my age, like, I used to go to women's games, and you'd be lucky if there was probably 5,000-6,000 there.
Yeah.
Just to see that now, where you've got, like, I saw, like, 55,000 tickets have been sold.
It's incredible. So it is amazing.
It is, and I think, obviously, there's still such a long way to go to grow the game domestically, but it's got to start somewhere. And, obviously, the more people we can get actually just wanting to come to games, I always understand in women's football, like, not everyone's going to like it. But it's just finding a way for people just to tolerate and just accept that the girls want to play too.
Yep.
And just giving girls the opportunity to decide whether they actually want to play or not. Because if you don't give someone the option and you just tell them, they'll never think it was a possibility.
Yeah, whereas, that's a great point. Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you can say to a girl at school, okay, this week we're doing football and then next week we'll do netball. The girl might have that football session and think, you know what, I really enjoyed that. Okay, goes home, tells mum and dad, I really enjoyed that at school. Can we try something a bit more local?
Yeah.
And there's opportunities where girls can do that now, whereas when I was younger, you never did football in lessons.
Yeah.
It was always like the free time that you got, like at lunchtime or at break times.
Even back then, I remember when I was in school, it was almost very stereotypical that the boys did football outside and the girls did netball. Has there been a switch?
I'd be interested to see this now in schools. I do notice when I go into schools to do player appearances that obviously there is girls' football teams, which is really nice to see. But obviously, I've got a young niece. She's on E4. So it'd be interesting to see in the next couple of years what that looks like for her at school. Just having that probably opportunity to discover whether she actually likes football or not. Because I can influence it a certain degree to say, obviously, it's really good, do it.
Yep.
But then it's actually for her to actually go and do it and experience that, and obviously being in a group of people. Because I think, especially football, gives you so many social skills.
It really does, yeah, I agree.
And I think it can really open you up as a person, and you actually find people in football. I think you really find proper friends in football. Like, not everyone's going to be your best friend in football, I understand that. But, like, some people, they'll be the memories that you have playing football with them, you'll carry with you for the rest of your life. And some of the experiences that you have.
Yep. Well, I totally agree. Like, speaking from my own experience, I've been in football for 20 years now, and every year I'm put in a new dressing room or every couple of years with 30 players, and you get on with everybody. It's actually incredible how you can adapt to every situation, and then you'll find two of them are your best friends, and then, like, they'll stay with your friends forever. Football does create those situations where... You feel uncomfortable at times, you feel confident at times. It can be the best and the worst game in the world. Obviously, you find it no different.
I think, especially, like, you get on with the people. I understand, like, in any walk of life, you're not going to be best friends with everybody, but you learn to find a common ground with them where you've got the same goal, but you just have different opinions on how you get there, but you still work together to achieve that goal. And I find in football that you actually find a way of dealing with that a lot better than you probably would on the outside.
Yep. Fair enough. Right, I want to get on to how you got scouted then. From a very early age, you were scouted by Wolves originally. But so was you still playing in that girls' team?
And then So it's funnily enough, the people that scouted me that worked at Wolves, they always have an argument when I've ever like gone to see them. Obviously, whenever I've like just happened to bump into them,
they always want to take the credit, don't they?
Yeah, they do actually. Like, oh, I scouted her. No, you didn't. I scouted her. But it was literally just playing a game at the time. I don't know. I probably can't even remember who it was against, but they just came over towards the end to my dad, who was actually the coach as well at the time. And me and a couple of girls got asked, obviously, we're interested in these two players. We've got trials. Would they be interested in coming? Obviously, as a kid, I'm a massive Wolves fan. So when I found out, I was like, yes, definitely. And my mum and dad were like, okay, we'll go.
That drive home must have been amazing.
Yeah, it was. Like, covered in like mud. You're there thinking, on Tuesday I've got trials.
That's lovely, that.
But I actually remember my first trial. I didn't get put in goal. They hadn't realised that I was actually a goalkeeper. Right, so obviously, when the scout writes it, they just put the names of the people that's coming.
Yep.
So obviously, when I've not gone in goal all session until we play the games at the end.
Yep.
And when I've gone in goal, they've come off and went, you a goalkeeper? And I was like, yeah, that's what I've come for. And there was like, okay. So the next time, obviously, I was with the goalkeepers doing the session.
Did you find just when you went with the goalkeepers, the improvement and the enjoyment level just went through the roof?
Yeah. I think as well, like, I realised that a lot of the stuff that my dad had taught me was what they was doing anyway.
The basics.
Yeah,
it's always
yeah.
the basics in goalkeeping.
Yeah, definitely. And honestly, those years at Wolves was like some of the best years of my life as a kid.
Yeah.
Honestly, you can ask my parents if you ever get a chance to meet them. It actually broke my heart leaving.
Oh, did it really? Yeah.
Yeah, honestly.
You didn't leave for a bad club though,
no,
did you?
No, well, another Midlands club. Obviously, I went to Birmingham.
Yeah.
But it was hard at the time because back then, girls were called Centre of Excellences, run by the FA.
Yes.
So you had to apply to be one of these.
Yep.
And at the time, it was going through a re-registration and Wolves lost theirs. West Brom gained it.
Right, okay.
And obviously, I went to my mum. I'm like, I'm not going to West Brom. I'm not going there. And then I ended up, someone at Birmingham contacted my parents, obviously because they'd saw me play against Birmingham.
Yep.
When we'd play. And I don't think I had to do a trial for them. I literally just turned up near the end of the trial phase where they do, like, obviously the matches and stuff like that to play in them.
You'd have been still very young then.
Yeah, so I was at Wolves from under-10s till under-14s.
Yep.
And then obviously I went to Birmingham after that season.
Yep.
So I'd have been, like, 15.
Yeah.
14, 15.
Did you enjoy your time at Birmingham?
I did, actually. The club did a lot for me as well. At a young age, like, I was, like, 15, going to train with the women's first team.
That's an incredible experience at such a young age.
And I was playing with, like, in training, I had, like, Karen Carney, Laura Bassett there, and I was, like, thinking, oh, my God, I've just, like, these lot play for England, you know?
Yeah.
Especially the Karen Carney one, because, obviously, when I was younger, obviously, seeing the England players, like, Karen Carney was, like, up there, like, yeah. And having her, like, score past me in training, I was, like, thinking, I've got a long way to go.
But did you then, that must have been also motivating because you've been given an opportunity like that and you're like, I'm not that far away. If I keep working hard and if I keep doing well, I'm going to get more opportunities like this.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, like, I got such a buzz, like, going into training with them because, like, there's no real pressure on me.
Yep.
So literally I can fling myself around and I'm, like, getting in the car after, like, Mum, I saved one of Karen Carney's shots today. Like, just, like, bigging yourself up a little bit because there's actually a reason that they've put you with them.
What were they like to work with?
So, like, so good in terms of I didn't feel out of place in the sense of I felt like I was just a young person coming up.
Yep.
But then they still treated me like a first-team player. So, like, if I made a mistake, they'd let me know.
Yep.
And I appreciated that. It learnt me to grow up pretty quickly and mature quite quickly as well.
And then the move to Arsenal as well then.
So yeah, this like came about, like, I'd been at Birmingham 4 years. I really enjoyed my time there. And I was away on international, I think with the 19s at the time. And there was a technical director, I think, actually, no, he might have been the general manager at Arsenal. I think his name was John Bayer. He knew who I was, obviously, being at Birmingham, playing against Arsenal. I had actually quite a few good games against Arsenal as well. And he actually saw me speaking to my mum and I obviously approached my mum after. And I was like thinking, well, it's near the end of the season and they was actually quite interested.
Yep.
And I remember we had a cup game against Arsenal. We lost 2-1, but the women's first team coach was actually there watching the game. Watching me.
Oh, no way, that's amazing.
They actually sent him down to watch it. Luckily enough, had a good game, right place, right time, like you said. And then it was a case of we had to drive down to meet them and obviously have the chats about how logistically it works. Obviously, at the time, like I'm going into obviously college and stuff like that. But yeah, like the guys at Birmingham was good in the sense in they understood. They didn't want me to leave, but they understood like when Arsenal comes, you can't really say no. Like, it's an opportunity I really couldn't pass away, like getting to go and train with like Kelly Smith, Alex Scott. Some of the internationals that I had was amazing. Like, I speak highly of Emma Byrne, who was the Irish number one at the time.
Emma.
Honestly, learnt so much from her in my time there.
I used to train with Emma a long, long time ago when Emma was at Arsenal. Yeah.
Honestly, like, just made things look easy.
Yep.
But such a presence of a person.
Yeah.
And then at the time, the other goalkeeper they just brought in was Sari van Veilendaal, who ended up being the Dutch number one,
yep.
Literally months later. So I'm getting to train with the Irish number one and the Dutch number one. Learned so much. Honestly, it was like invaluable for me, like these people. Another person that I learned a lot off at Arsenal was Farrah Williams when she came. Honestly, one of the best people technically I've ever seen in terms of can play with both feet.
Yeah.
And she used to like big me up in sessions. Like, she's like, hit that ball, you can do it, just hit it. And like, I'd do it. She's like, see, I told you, you could do it. And just being like your parents at football and like pushing you through sessions and like telling you when it's not good enough or when you've had a really good session was amazing.
Did you take things off the goalkeepers, especially that you worked with? Like, would you look at Emma and go, like, her presence or. And then would you look at, would you like take certain aspects of the game and try and implement into your game until you found your own style?
I think for me, it's like, it was looking at what they did, but how it was effective and how I could tweak what they did based off me, because Emma and Sari were very tall goalkeepers. I'm not the tallest of goalkeepers. So their positioning, say, on their line could be like afford to be like three, four yards higher,
yep.
Whereas I probably need to be like only two.
But be faster across your goal.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it was just working that. And then obviously when you get into like blocking shapes, because their limbs are longer, they can probably wait a split second longer to get into that position, whereas I probably need to snap into it a lot quicker to cover more of the goal.
Yeah, I was talking to one of our young goalkeepers at Wrexham about this yesterday. It's the same thing. He's a very small goalkeeper. And he was saying that he wants to play higher. And I was like, it's the absolute opposite. Everyone thinks that small goalkeepers should play higher. It's the opposite. You need to play deeper, like a Hugo Lloris, like Shea Given did.
Yeah.
Like it was easy for me to say, obviously, for the male footballers, because it's more relevant to him.
Yeah.
But I was saying that those keepers are so fast across their line.
Yeah.
But where the bigger goalkeepers are Fraser Fosters, Nick Pope, they can afford to play higher because their limbs are longer and they'll make more blocks.
Yeah.
They don't need the reaction time to be like instant.
Yeah, I think as well, if you look back at Lloris, when he first came to Spurs, his positioning was actually quite high.
It was, yeah.
And you could see that, obviously in the Prem, the ball flies so much quicker. Obviously, you're getting used to that when you see it, obviously, on TV. So he's probably thought, you know what, I can't get away with being this far off my line. Then if you actually watch him later on, you see him go retreat further back.
But
and then
use his feet to a remarkable speed.
That's what I mean. So it was finding stuff that they did, but making it work for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important for goalkeepers. Like, everyone has such a different style. But the main thing is you just need to be effective.
That's it, yeah. I always say that you should study someone that you really like watching and that is a similar body type to you.
Yeah.
Because you'll be able to gain the most attributes to someone that's more relevant to your body type.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, I always looked up to Edwin van der Sar. I always thought that, like, he was 6'3", same height as me. He liked to play with both feet and he was very calm. I'm very calm in nature. So I used to go on YouTube and just watch clips and clips of like that, because that's who I idolised. I would always try and mimic that type of a goalie.
I think for me, like, obviously, I said before, like, Buffon was one of my favourite goalkeepers, but like a more modern one now is Jan Sommer.
Yeah.
See, like, he's a very he's not the tallest of goalkeepers, but he's so effective in how he uses
his... He manipulates saves incredibly, doesn't he?
That's what I mean. And the way he's able to be quite proactive in understanding where people are positioned to how he then can adjust his body to then make a save.
Yeah, nice. Good shout. Right. Then you moved to Aston Villa.
Yeah.
How did this come about then?
So I'd been at Arsenal 2 years and I'd been brought in, trained a lot with the first team. I'd obviously played a lot of games with the reserves. And I was like 19, coming 20. And I was thinking, you know what? Reserve football's done so much for me, but I kind of need to be chucked into the senior game and learn and make mistakes. And obviously, I wasn't really going to get that at Arsenal. So I literally had to be like, okay, as much as I want to stay and I've learned a lot, I literally need to just go and sink or swim, basically. Yep. So it came about that there was an opportunity at Villa. We got in contact with the manager at the time. And he was really keen to get me on board. Like, he knew my progression, obviously seeing me play as well. And it was just a case of obviously just going there and actually like talking to them and figure out what their plan was and stuff like that. And then I remember that first season, I made a lot of mistakes. Like, I made a few mistakes first in and ended up getting dropped.
Was this the first time you'd gone full time?
No, this was still part-time at Villa, training twice a week, 7 till 9. But yeah, I'd made a few mistakes that had cost us, obviously, goals. I'm thinking, what am I doing wrong here? And I remember getting dropped. This is when you found out when you got to the game, whether you was playing or not, and he pulled me to the side and he said, I'm dropping you for this game, and so-and-so is going to play. And I was just like, I was like really like deflated. But I remember it was in a cup game and it had gone to penalties. And because I'd saved a penalty in the game before, they decided to put me in for the penalties. I think I saved four penalties.
No way.
Three or four penalties. And then we won the game and then I played the next game. But for me, that season was such a learning curve of, right, I could get away with this in reserve football. I really can't get away with this now.
Yep.
And then over the years, I kind of progressed to the point where I knew what I could get away with, and things that I was making mistakes with before I wasn't doing then later.
Yep.
So each year at Villa was kind of like a progression. Yep. So we finished near the bottom, mid-table, and then obviously a couple of seasons later we actually got promoted, which was a very weird season obviously because it was during COVID times.
And you got the Golden Glove that year as well.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't
I'm going to mention it. I love clean sheets, come on.
I didn't even think it was a thing.
No?
I didn't even think about it. Because obviously, during the COVID time, obviously it was halfway through our season. So obviously it got to just after Christmas. It was when COVID was getting rumoured. Okay, the league suspended. So for months we were like training. Could restart. We was waiting then to find out if we'd got promoted. And I remember we got promoted. It was a weird celebration, obviously, because you couldn't go out. So like we was on Zoom to each other. And when we found out...
Such a letdown, that, isn't it?
Yeah. But I remember actually finding out we got promoted. My mum and dad was at home. And my boyfriend, obviously, was living with us at the time. And I've gone in the room, I've shut the door. And then they just hear me scream.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We've got promoted, and they've come bursting through the door. It was honestly that moment will live with me. I actually like cried.
Yeah.
But it was just sad because like we actually couldn't really enjoy it.
Yep.
So then I remember coming back in the following year to pre-season. Obviously some of the girls had obviously gone and obviously some of the girls had stayed. And I just remember getting a phone call on my way to training, and it was the general manager, Sean, I've got some really good news for you. And I was like, what's happening? And she went, you've won the Golden Glove. I went, what? Say that again? She's like, you've won the Golden Glove. I was like, are you serious? She's like, yeah, the trophy's come today.
Oh,
obviously.
Nice.
So like, I remember ringing my mum. I was like, mum, guess what? And obviously, that for me personally was never something I actually set out to do that season. The main goal for me was to get the club promoted. So then that just topped it off for me. And it was nice that the comments that I got from my teammates, like to actually say that I really deserved it.
Nice. Right, that's one of your highest moments. I want to talk about another moment where you got red carded. Because this doesn't happen a lot for goalkeepers. And touch wood, I've never been red carded. So I don't know this emotion. But talking to the outfielders in my team about when they get sent off, I want to hear your version of this.
No, it was my fault, honestly. To be fair, I'm quite lucky because I'd got into like a scuffle in the first half and I'd got yellow carded.
Right, okay, yeah.
So then second half, luckily, as when the ball came over, I didn't want to come for it, but then someone shouted Sean, and then I've just switched and then gone for the ball, and I think I'm coming. I'm like, I'm never gonna get this, and I don't know why. I just jumped, and obviously my hands are like semi away from my body, and it's hit my arm here. And I'm thinking, I'm literally thinking, no.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and then I could see her coming over. And I was like, it hit me here. And she's like, no, it hasn't. I was like, and I'm trying to delay as long as possible, obviously, so we can get someone on, obviously, to come in. And I just remember, like, just seeing the card go up. And I just felt the whole room, like, coming, like, the whole stadium, like, coming on me. But the girls was fine with me after, like, it's not really in my nature to get sent.
What's the walk like back to the dressing room?
It's a long walk.
Yeah, I can imagine it is.
Because obviously, as well, like I obviously took my shirt off, gave it to the because one of the outfielders had to go in goal at the time, and give them my gloves. And I remember walking in thinking, what have I done? And then I remember the assistant came over, she patted me on the back, she's like, just don't worry about it. And then the opposition's goalkeeper coach actually came over to me and says, he's like, it's fine, like, you haven't meant to do it, so don't worry about it, like, it happens. But I remember, because you have to stay in the changing room.
Yeah, you're not allowed out, yeah. You have to sit there on your own.
Yeah, so the general manager came down from the stands and came and sat with me and actually put it on her phone for me to watch. And I was just like, John, just really deflated. I just wanted to get out of that building as quickly as possible. Yeah. But as soon as the whistle blowed, obviously put my tracksuit back on, whistle's gone. And I've gone and stood with the girls, obviously, and actually put like a message out on Twitter about it, like saying, just apologising to like the fans and my teammates and stuff like that. And everyone was just fine with it. I think I only missed like obviously one game, obviously, because of what the red card was for.
Yeah.
But
I'd have been more worried about my gloves, you know, lending them to somebody else.
I changed them after that.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Honestly, I changed them after that. I was like, they can go in the bin.
Yeah, yeah. One for superstition because you got sent off
in
them. But also someone else wearing your gloves, you're like, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Joe,
they're my tools.
Joe, if someone asks me in training, can I borrow these? Just go. I went, no, you can't.
Yeah.
No, you can't wear them.
Yeah, goalies are strange. One final thing before I move on about like your career so far is we talked off air slightly about how difficult it was trying to juggle college, training, travelling. How did you find all this and how hard was it?
I have to take, obviously, into consideration at the time. Obviously, I didn't drive during this time at Arsenal. So I was quite fortunate that my mum, honestly, absolute saint of a person. She used to work down in London a couple of times a week in Woking. So
a
she
commute for her as well.
Yeah, so she drive down, obviously go to work, and obviously sometimes I'd get the train, and then get a taxi from the train station to the training ground. Obviously, it's in Watford, Arsenal's training ground, literally right next door to Watford. It's a bit weird, literally right next door to it. And obviously I'd be there from like early in the morning till late afternoon. Sometimes I'd do like double sessions, so I'd be like in with the women from I think it was 10:30 till like 2:00, and then with the reserves I think it was like 5:30 or 5 till 7:00.
It's a long wait around, it's a long day.
Yeah, so I was doing like double triple sessions there, and then obviously then she'd drive around, and obviously I still have to wait for her because obviously she's still got to finish work.
Yeah.
And then she'd pick me up, obviously take me home. Some days when I was at college, I'd be in college from like 9 till like 12, and then I'd have to get the train from Birmingham, because I went to Solihull College, down to London, to Watford, and then obviously taxi there, train, do it all again, get the train back home, and then sometimes I wouldn't be getting home till like about 10 o'clock.
Yep, to just redo it again the next day.
Yeah.
So a lot of you put into it, a lot of commitment from yourself and your parents.
Yeah.
Shout out to a lot of the parents out there, because the amount of effort that they go to make sure that their child.
Honestly, like with my parents, I wouldn't be where I am without what they do.
Yep.
And I can imagine them sometimes thinking, "I wish you'd just give it up," or because that's also a pressure that some kids face that I don't think people realise is.
Yes.
They don't want to give it up because they've seen what their parents have had to do to get them to where they are.
Yeah, definitely.
And you feel slightly guilty. But yeah, I can't thank them enough.
Yeah.
Like being patient with me and going through the ups and the downs. Because they do, they go on the ups and the downs
of
your career with
you. Every part of the way, aren't they?
Yeah, and my sister taking a massive backseat in terms of, because my football took a lot of priority.
Oh, it's a nice little story though, right? That's like a somber note. We're going to get onto the goalie or no goalie quiz now to lighten the mood again, right? So I've got 5 goalkeepers and 5 non-goalies. I need you to say goalie or no goalie.
Yeah.
So I've got 5 current women international footballers.
Oh, God.
And 5 other names from around the world. You can head over to YouTube to follow our leaderboard, and it's 1 point for each correct answer. I'm going to get my little scoreboard here because it helps me count. Right. You ready?
Yeah.
Nervous?
Yeah, because if I get it wrong, people
this is
say.
A trick, right? Yeah. This is all a trick, right? Number 1, Victoria Essen.
No goalie?
She is a goalkeeper. She is
who's
New Zealand and Rangers goalkeeper.
Oh, there she is.
Heard of her?
Now that you've shown me the picture, yeah. I've obviously seen a Joe, obviously, at like the World Cup and stuff like that. I feel bad, sorry.
That's all right.
Victoria.
Right, number 2. Dora Marquez.
No goalkeeper.
Dora the Explorer is not a goalkeeper. But no. Dora the Explorer. See, who would have known her surname is Marquez, by the way?
I know. If people listening to this now are going to be like, oh,
baffled.
I've always wondered that.
Right, number 3, Rita Sayachu.
No goalkeeper.
You're right. No goalkeeper. Rita Ora, real name. That's a Turkish surname by descent.
That really threw me off, though, because of the last name.
Yeah. Siachu. Oh, I thought I pronounced that lovely as well. You're on 2 now. Excellent. Good start. Right, number 4. Number 4. Almuth Scholt.
Goalkeeper.
She is a goalkeeper. She is German goalkeeper that's currently a free agent.
It's the last name that done it for me.
Yeah.
I actually used to like watching her play as well.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Number 5, Kaylin Swart.
No goalkeeper.
She is a goalkeeper. She is the South Africa goalkeeper. She plays for JVW in the South African League.
Not seeing her.
No.
But...
She played in their last game against America, I think. They lost 3-0. When I was doing my research. I have to do all my research. Right. Number 6, Michelle Jones.
No goalkeeper.
She is not a goalkeeper. Do you know where you know that name from?
No.
MJ from Spider-Man, Zendaya.
Oh.
I've seen that you follow her on socials. I have to do a bit of research into yourself.
I do like her.
Yeah. Right, number 7, Jessica Cornish.
Is that a goalkeeper?
Jessie J is not a goalkeeper.
I thought the last names. It's the last name that froze you. Yeah. You've definitely done your research.
Yep.
I do follow her as well.
And you follow her. Yeah, exactly that, right.
Saw her live. Great live.
Really good, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, when she sings, you're like, how is that even possible? Because, like, their mouth's not really moving, but, like, they...
Depth.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, my God.
Fair enough, right. Number eight. You're on four, by the way. Number eight, Adriana Franch.
Goalkeeper.
She is a goalkeeper. She is an America and Kansas City goalkeeper. Yeah. You want to roll now? Come on. All right. Number nine, Valentina Tereshkova.
No goalkeeper.
She is not a goalkeeper. She's the first woman in space. That was confident as well. Right. And number 10, Christiane Endler.
I'll go goalkeeper.
She is a goalkeeper. She's the Chile and Lyon goalkeeper. Yeah. 7 out of 10. Got to be happy with that.
Yeah, not bad.
That's a good score, that. Really good score.
We got the wrong one to start with. I was like, oh, this is going to be a long one.
At least I didn't throw you off with Dora the Explorer.
I do actually like watching her play as well.
Yeah.
Very tall goalkeeper.
Yeah, she is tall, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, wishing I could be that tall.
Right. I want to go on to representing England from a very young age and working your way through the age groups. Must have been an amazing achievement when you at first got called up.
So, at the time, you actually got...
Was 13 when you first got called up.
Yeah, you used to get sent a letter.
Yeah.
You get sent a letter. And I actually thought, nah, this can't be right. Surely not. And I remember, they send you a list of everything that you need. So, obviously, you take your boots, your gloves, your shin pads. But, your sliders, your travel bag and stuff like that. And I was thinking... I remember going with my parents to get everything. They got me new boots to go away as well, bless them.
Nice.
But it was so weird because there were so many girls there, and obviously there's a couple that you go with from your team, and then they filter it down to then you're actually going away properly, for 10 days. I remember some of the camps was.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
You think 10 days on holiday, you're thinking that's great.
Would that have been one of your first trips away, obviously, from your parents as well?
For that long, yeah. But I remember, you got players there from, Arsenal, Chelsea, really good players as well. And I was, my first one was, I was, playing for Wolves. So it was just, honestly, I think my parents was more excited about it than me. Mine was more nerves because,
You was very young as well.
Yeah,
was you 13 called up to the 16s? 15s.
Yeah, it'd have been 15s. It might have been classed as 14s at the time just because of the age bracket. Yep. But yeah, I felt such a baby. Some people saying, I'm 14.
There's nothing quite like when you first put on the kit though or the tracksuit, is there? That feeling.
It is. It's everyone's watching you. You don't realise everyone is actually staring at everything you do when you're in public because you're all together in tracksuits.
Yeah, and you worked your way through pretty much all the way up to the 21s, didn't you?
Yeah. So that I always think in my first couple of age groups, I probably took that for granted a lot more because you start getting picked consistently, obviously. Yeah. Based off how you're playing, and I was playing quite well the first couple of years. And I remember as I was getting towards the 19s, I was at Arsenal at the time. I just remember getting picked. And I was like, how am I actually getting picked? Because I'm actually not playing that well. But then I thought, you know what? I'm getting picked. I'm gonna make the most of it.
Of course, yeah.
And some of the places I've been to, some amazing places. I've been to European Championships, qualifiers and stuff like that. It's amazing.
You even captained England at one point as well.
That was such a kind of surreal moment. I remember getting pulled by the goalkeeper coach. I was thinking, you know, when you get pulled by a coach, you think you start sweating, you start shaking, thinking back in your head, what have I actually done? Trying to think back.
How did I play in the last game? Yeah, naturally what you think, didn't
or
you?
Or what have I actually done? Have I said something or have I done something? But I remember she sat me down and she went, I'm going to ask you a question now. She's like, how would you feel about being captain tomorrow? And I went, say that again? She's like, yeah, how would you feel about being captain tomorrow? And I was like, I'd do it. There was no hesitation when, obviously, when it come about in that sense, like, I'll do it. Like, it's a once in a lifetime thing. Like, you may never obviously get to do it again. So, and I just remember, like, ringing my parents and telling them, and like, my mum and dad started crying on the phone. I was like, it's okay. Like, it's like, I think I was just more proud than anything. And I remember it was at St. George's Park, and it was quite a long walk, so I had such a long time to be thinking, like, what kind of captain am I going to be today? But I tell you what, I had probably one of the best games of my life.
Just like the pressure then?
Yeah.
The added responsibility.
Yeah, it was just something where, like, something just clicked and things fell into place.
Nice.
And I remember I don't think he was meant to do this at the time, but I remember getting given at the end. Do you know when you, like, hand over the...
Yeah, like the commemorative flag thing.
Yeah, so obviously they obviously gave us the who was it now? I think it was Switzerland. It was Switzerland that we played. Obviously they gave me that, and then obviously at the end you take it, once you've done the handshake and everything, you take it to the bench and they take it off you. And I remember they actually gave me my armband and the...
Oh, wow.
Because obviously I'd had such a good game, and said, we don't usually do this, but the game that you've had and how you've performed, we'd like you to have it.
That's amazing, yeah.
I think that made my parents
like
really like well up and really appreciate what I'd actually done. And for me, it was probably one of my best days.
Yeah, brilliant. Right, I want to do some geeky goalkeeper stuff now. I want to talk about gloves and stuff. Right, so what gloves are you currently wearing?
I currently wear Precision. There's somewhere on. I've tried those.
Or the black and orange behind you?
I've also tried those, but I do have...
A few others.
I do wear those. I wear those in the summer.
There's a few up here.
And then I sometimes wear the grey and green ones, which is like the grip on it has a little dotted palm.
Yeah, like graphite or something. Yeah.
They're probably most of my time I'll be wearing those, just because I feel like they're really like comfortable for me.
Yep. Do you find that they're a bit harder wearing on the palm then?
A little bit. I just like the fit of the glove. The grip's really good, and the Precision gloves like last for so long.
Yep.
And I can't speak highly enough of them. Like, they're really good to me. They send me stuff whenever I need, and literally I'll message them 2 days later. The box is at the training ground.
Yep. They send out some equipment as well, don't they?
Yes.
Like Under Armours and socks and everything
Yeah, grip socks, Under Armours. They sent me stuff for the girls as well. Like, she sent me like a rebound net.
Some training aids.
Yeah.
That's really good.
They'd
all the inflatable mannequins and stuff.
Yeah. I'd rather run into one of them than the plastic ones they're set up for crossing.
Yeah, the actual plastic mannequins. What size do you wear?
I'm a size 7.5, but not many gloves do 7.5.
Yep.
So I'll wear an 8. But some glove styles, depending on the style of the glove, I can get away with a 7.
Okay, yeah. So it just depends on the fit or the cut of the glove.
Yeah, so in these ones, I had to have an 8 to try.
Negative gloves are quite small.
Whereas those ones, the white and the grey ones that I wear, I can wear a 7.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Just because of the fit of the glove.
Yep. Roll fingers generally do fit a bit baggier.
Yeah.
And a negative are tighter on the fingers, aren't they?
Like the hybrid ones, I can get away with either size. But roll finger, I did wear for a bit last season. But I find they cut into me a lot.
Yep.
So I've gone to the... That's like the negative cut.
Fair enough, right? And how do you look after your gloves? Wait, talk about the first time you unbox a pair of gloves. Right, do you have a routine?
So luckily enough, with the ones that I have from Precision, I don't have to take the film off.
Yeah.
So annoying, so honestly. Annoying. And you're trying to pick it off, but not pick at the latex. And people say, why does it take so long? I was like, I'm like, you try taking it off, because it's actually so hard to. And then, like, my OCD, I don't like anything sticking out of the plastic.
I think someone tagged me in a hack for this, by the way, and you dip them in hot water.
Really?
And it's meant... Someone in the comments, please mention this, if you know how to do it properly. But,
yeah,
apparently, if you dip them in hot water, the plastic just comes straight off.
Might have to try that next time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, literally, as soon as I get them, obviously, I'll try, like, I'll literally put them on, have a little feel, and then I'll go and... tap my hand, like, with my hands under the sink a little bit.
Yep.
And then, like,
get rub that initial chemical layer off.
Yeah, and then I, like, rub them a little bit. And then I just leave them, like, hang them to dry.
Yeah.
And then I'll do that before I go out to training if I've opened a new pair. And then, obviously, I'll just wear them. And then I'll wear them a couple of times in the week. And then I'll actually do, like, this sounds silly, but like a bulk wash of gloves. People say not to do this, but I actually wash mine in the washing machine.
Do you? Wow.
Right.
Oh, clear. Ouch.
clear the drawer of all the, like, the detergent, and I put the glove wash in with the gloves.
Yeah.
And then literally a bulk wash of gloves is done, and then I literally hang them to dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That hurts. That. Do you, what temperature do you put wash these on?
On like a really low. Yeah. And they're only in there for most half an hour.
Yeah, quick wash. Fair enough. If I've
only used the one glove during the week, I'll wash them by hand.
Yeah.
Because there's no point chucking.
How often do you go through new gloves? Like you said, precision are pretty good to you, but are you three or four games? Are you just depending on how they last the conditions?
Obviously, pre-season, you'll go probably through you go through a lot more. So leading into a game, I'll probably wear the gloves I'm going to wear for a match day the day before to see how they feel. Then that'll determine whether I wear them or not.
Yep.
And then I'll have the gloves I've worn in the week in my glove bag for the weekend because I know that I've had...
a broken in pair, just in case.
So I'd probably say every 2 months, I'll probably go through probably about two pairs of gloves.
Is that all? Yeah, it's not
two, three pairs of gloves.
So you're doing three or four games.
It just depends on...
conditions.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if we've played on AstroTurf.
Yes.
It's because some teams we have in our league play on AstroTurf.
Because generally, obviously, when the goalkeeper gets up, especially on an AstroTurf, the wear on the fingers where you get up and push.
Yeah, but you...
or the outside of the...
But you won't believe on some of the pitches as well, because sometimes they put sand in the pitch.
Yep. That destroys your latex on the gloves, yep.
And the obviously people say get up with your hand like this, but when you're trying to get off the floor as quickly as possible, I'm not thinking about my hand needs to be like this.
No chance.
You're just getting up as quickly as you can.
Have you got any special preferences in different conditions? You know, like we're saying about the rain, or have you changed your gloves and worn really old gloves in a game before? Or
I don't really change my gloves in game. I kind of like so. I'll warm up in a pair and I'll have a feel of how I am in that session. But as I said, I always have a pair that I've wore in the week that are a bit more broken in.
Yep.
So then if I do ever, for whatever reason, the newer pair rip or something, I've got a pair that's actually broken in and I've actually worn in the week to obviously have as a backup.
Yep. Okay. Right. Any superstitions?
I don't really have like superstitions. Like I'd say you could probably call it one now, but obviously, I go out for the warm-up. You go out, obviously, before the rest of the team. You do a bit of shooting. And then I actually come in, like, 5 minutes earlier just because it's dead quiet.
Yes, I'm 15 minutes earlier. I like to just sit there, chill out, change
so
the
like,
kit.
I change all into my kit. And then I literally have just, like, 5 minutes of quiet before the chaos comes in. Like, the girls coming in, like, when, like, they're walking past you and stuff like that. Just have that moment of...
calm, reflection.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of goalkeepers are the same. All goalkeepers, well, a lot of the older goalkeepers now, especially. I know I do it, Fozzie did it. We would always go in 10, 15 minutes before the team and just go and sit and chill out, because a goalkeeper's persona is one or two. It's like you're either a very calm goalkeeper or you're the hyped up, all-action hero type.
Yeah.
So like it's a hard one to gauge. I always find that young goalkeepers that I work with, they work too hard in the warm-up. So their adrenaline's through the roof, and then they play in the game, and by the end of the game, they crash.
Yeah.
So it's about finding that happy medium for yourself.
Oh, another one. I do have a Red Bull as well.
Yeah.
So I'll have a little bit before the warm-up, a little bit when I come in from the warm-up, and then the last little bit at half-time.
Yeah. Just stagger it across.
Yeah.
Good bit of caffeine in the system.
Yeah. I've tried the caffeine gums. Nah. I just don't like them.
No.
Don't think they do anything.
No. Everyone's got their own preferences. Have you got any preferences on what you eat before a game? Are you specific? Are you fussy?
So, for me, like, I don't like eating loads before a game. I don't know how you feel when you play. Like, I don't like having that full feeling of when you're flinging your body around, especially in the warm-up, of having that feeling of the food still being there. So, I'll always have, obviously, especially at a home game, I'll have a bagel, like toasted bagel with peanut butter, honey and like banana.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, full of
energy.
And then
like a yogurt as well with some like granola in, and then probably a coffee or something, and then that'll be me. But yeah, I don't like to eat too big. I try and eat bigger before, like the day before, because obviously I know I don't like to eat much the day of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you do much work on the opposition, like video analysis stuff? Do you do much reflection on your own game after games?
I think for me, when you play in the league for a couple of years, you kind of get to know the players that you've played against, yep. And you kind of know the trends. So you kind of know that aspect, but we always do footage on the opposition. So like how they press from the front in terms of how then we're going to look to play out, whether we hit fullbacks or, I don't know, like we invert the fullbacks and the centre-halves dropouts, stuff like that. But personally, like, I'll look at the game before and say, like, look at more like the goals that they've scored. And
chances created, the areas that they get shots from.
And then obviously the areas they look to target on their set pieces.
Yep.
So if, like, from corners, do they hit towards the back zone? Do they try and flood the 6-yard box, or did they aim for the front post?
Yep.
And then that'll mean I just adapt my positioning based off that.
Yeah, it just gives you a little bit of an insight into the opposition.
But then it's always that thing where they might change it.
100%.
Yeah.
So what about penalties then? Do you look much into that? Obviously, you're saying you've got a very good record with penalties.
So with the penalties, I'm quite fortunate enough that I have them on my water bottle.
Yep. Oh, you do, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a good cheat that goes around, doesn't
there? Yeah. So we'll have the last couple of penalty takers and their preferred side. But it's hard, obviously, at the start of the season because
there's not as much backstory on everyone.
So you have to kind of go into last season as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was Martin Margaretson that started that. He's the England men's goalie coach. And obviously, we all seen Jordan Pickford over the years. He's had it on his water bottle, but I worked with Marge years and years ago at Cardiff, and he was the one that first brought it to my attention. Yeah. Like, yeah, just write on your water bottle, and then you know that number 4 hits it to your left, and like, you know that.
But then, like, you pick up traits when you're playing as
100%,
well.
Yeah.
So, obviously, before, left footed people are probably like, say, you're completely wrong when I say this now, but a lot of the times when I've played against left footed people, they tend to go to your right.
Yeah.
Just because they don't usually like to cut across the ball as much. So obviously then when you see a left footer come up, you kind of have to, like, before I started doing this, you kind of have to, like, use your knowledge, like, okay, then they're going to open the hip up to then go to your right-hand side so you can afford to, like, cheat a little bit and start.
Go a bit earlier. Or...
Yeah, I think that sort of thing you kind of learn as well.
Right, and finally, right, I always finish on this question now, but I really like because everyone says it's slightly different. What is the goalkeeper's union to you?
A slightly dysfunctional family.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, nice. Why? You hate and love each other.
It's weird. It's a group inside a group. And people ask about this, and I say, you actually can't understand it until you're in it, in terms of you're actually a goalkeeper. And I think it's weird because you don't want people to make mistakes, but sometimes your chance could be off someone's mistake. And it's so weird because you're literally there rooting for the team to win, but someone's mistake can then give you your opportunity.
Yep.
But I also like it that there's people there that actually understand your situation that you're in. So in the good moments and the bad moments, because when you make a mistake as a goalkeeper, it's a very, very lonely place.
Really is, yep.
Yeah, you just want the stadium to basically eat you up.
And no one else understands it apart from the goalkeepers.
And you don't realise how much in your own head you can get.
Mm.
So then, like, I think over the years, I've literally learnt to, like, okay, it's happened. Like, there's nothing I can do now. The only thing I can do is make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yep. And the other goalkeepers, then, do you have a good relationship with them? And
I have such respect for the people that I work with in terms of the goalkeepers. Because obviously, at the end of the day, like, it's not their decision who plays. It's the managers. Like, obviously, you can influence in terms of your own, like, preparation and your commitment and how well you train, how well you do your gym sessions and what you do outside of football. But ultimately, like, there's a game plan. The manager has a certain way of playing. The opposition have a certain way of playing. What goalkeeper's going to best suit that moving forward?
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming in. I've really enjoyed the episode.
No, thanks for having me.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, no, I really have the geeky side of goalkeeping.
Yeah.
Something you don't always get to talk about.
No, exactly. And obviously your journey, I think it's very inspiring for girls out there. What you had to give up, but obviously how well you adapted to different situations. So full credit to you. And I wish you all the best for the rest of the season.
No, thank you.
This has been another great episode. I need to say a massive thank you to our sponsors, Mito Red Light Therapy and Forged Irish Stout. Without them, the pod wouldn't be able to go ahead. This has been the Yours Mine Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Please make sure you subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. It really helps. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
What a save from Mark Howard.